This is Mae Bressel. It's the second half of World Watchers, program number 793. In case you missed the first half hour, I was talking about the CNN report that Adolf Hitler was buried in Argentina last month, and also the San Jose Mercury report of a medical convention in Canada just last week, and the presentation of information of a dentist from Quebec, a researcher from Quebec, on the fact that Adolf Hitler did not die in the bunker. Now, what is the transition between that and Ronald Reagan's work with Errol Flynn in the early years when Flynn was with Rudolf Hess, Hess with the Duke and Duchess of Windsor and the Gestapo network, between Britain, Germany, Hermann Goering, the Bahamas, Mexico, and Hollywood? There's a common denominator that runs through all of this. One is Alexander Haig, the other is Henry Kissinger, and above them, of course, the notorious Fritz Kramer. Now, I want to read parts of an article I've had for many years and some I've had on the air before from Executive Intelligence Review, written by Scott Thompson in September of 1982. This was written 4 years ago, so you can compare the news of 1986 to what was written 4 years ago as a background for today's headlines. The article is about Henry Kissinger's connections to the British institutions. He went from Germany to Britain before he came to the United States, as did Fritz Kramer and Alexander Haig. Of course, they're very close to the British powers that be and institutions. Henry was a regular visitor in Great Britain to the Institute for Strategic Studies and Chatham House, and it's called the Royal Institute for International Affairs. But in the United States, the Study for Strategic and International Studies, the Georgetown Center, is very closely linked to the British counterpart, as are the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Society, and the Royal Institute for International Affairs. They're all part of what Cecil Rhodes set up in Britain a long time ago called the Round Table Group. And if you're not familiar with it, there's some very good books on Cecil Rhodes, his racist feelings, and his attitudes towards minorities. He came out of South Africa, famous for the diamond mines, and lived and put his money in Britain in these very far right-wing organizations and set up what was called the Cliveden Set in Great Britain. That was Lord and Lady Astor, and they were very close to Germans and Nazis, and that group is still very active. The Cliveden Set have many, many members. This article tells about Henry Kissinger's British controllers, who are second and third generation of the early Cecil Rhodes Roundtable Group. They include Lord Peter Carrington. Now, Peter Carrington, that they're describing in 1982, was instrumental with Henry Kissinger, and Oliver North in helping overthrow Grenada in 1983. And then Lord Carrington went on to become head of NATO, and he's the head of NATO at the current time. This was written 4 years ago. Lord Peter Carrington, who has joined Henry's new consulting firm, that's Kissinger Associates, the one that Congressman Henry Gonzalez calls the hired gun, or the agency our State Department is leased to. Kissinger Associates, Carrington has been in secret collaboration with Henry Kissinger since 1968, when they joined a reorganized P2 Freemasonic Lodge, making it a coordinating center of both the red and black terrorism for the strategy of tension. That goes into the Bologna bombing and Otto Skorzeny and Stefano Della Calle creating the tension and bombings to make the left right do the work and make it look like the left did it. Carrington was part of a NATO-run destabilization of Italy. Carrington's family is of Scottish bankers. They were ennobled for acting as financiers of William Pitt the Younger, who launched the 18th and 19th century propaganda one lodge with the French Duke d'Orléans as part of the Jacobin destruction of the French Republic through the Reign of Terror. That was P1. In 1967, Lord Carrington joined the board of Hambros Bank, which is then Michele Sindona's main partner in Banca Privata Finanziaria, that used to launder NATO funds to P2 members through a wave of coup attempts, bombings, and assassinations in Italy. And of course, Michael Sindona came to this country and emptied out the Franklin Bank of $45 million and worked closely with our Secretary of the Treasury, David Kennedy, with the Continental Bank in Illinois. This article says, in 1969, Henry Kissinger, then National Security Advisor, the job Mr. Frank Carlucci has now, sent his assistant, Alexander Haig, to oversee the project in the field. One year later, British Prime Minister Ted Heath named Lord Carrington Minister of Defense and top troubleshooter. From that position, Carrington remained in charge of destabilizing Italy. And I want to interject, because it's 4 years later, this is where Michael Ledeen comes in from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and Claire Sterling and Paul Hensa, and Mr. Abshire of the center, who now is clinging out the information that is going to the President of the United States, trying to cleanse, sanitize the Contragate for the powers that be. Going back to the article, despite his resignation as British Foreign Minister over the Malvinas crisis, Lord Carrington remains a principal architect of the strategy to negotiate a global arrangement with the Soviets, temporarily at least, which involves destroying the U.S. prestige and influence in favor of British or British-French superpower in the West. And also, I might say, when Carrington was in trouble because he was favoring the Argentine junta, Alexander Haig was forced to resign at the same time because he was sympathetic to the fascist Nazi junta, the P2 members, and Licio Gelli, living in Argentina as against the British interests. The article continues, Carrington, Kissinger, and Haig, and others, triggered the Malvina crisis, also the war in Lebanon, undermining the United States' influence in South America and the Middle East. Eastern Europe and the Balkans and other areas are becoming destabilized, while they encourage a opening with the People's Republic of China to arm them to fight, of course, the Soviet Union. Now we get to Rudolf Hess, the gentleman that the late Larry MacDonald wanted out, that the German organizations want out, that Phyllis Schlafly wants out. Lord Alec Douglas Home of Herschel, H-I-R-S-E-L, the former British Prime Minister, 1963 to 1964, the time period when Kennedy was murdered, and Foreign Secretary, 1970 to 74, that was the Watergate period, when Kissinger and Haig were running the White House. He has been revered by Kissinger as, in quotes, that rarest of statesmen, one of the wisest men I've ever known. This is Lord Alec Douglas Home. Kissinger admitted in May 10, 1982, at a Chatham House confession that he kept Lord Home better informed and more closely engaged than appropriate agencies of the United States government. Of Kissinger, Lord Home said, I worked with him for many years in my office capacity. Our London purposes have been the same as his. The mutual phrase is ironic. Lord Home is a survivor of Munich, 1938. In 1938, the same year that the Kissinger family left the Nazis and moved to England, Lord Home, then named Lord Douglas, traveled to Munich as British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain's private secretary. There he met Il Duce Benito Mussolini, Field Marshal Hermann Goering, while Chamberlain hammered out a pact with Hitler that would allow the removal, by partition or blitzkrieg strikes, of the buffer states that separated Nazi Germany from the drive east into the Soviet heartland that the Round Table group had planned for a long time. The Prime Minister's relative, Houston Stuart Chamberlain, is a member of a special order, the ISIS Uranian Order, part of Cecil Rhodes' group that set up psychical research, that worked with the Bavarian Thule Society that indoctrinated Hitler, that made the core of the Al-Amin SS, the blood and soil version of this plan that appears in Mein Kampf. After rearming of the Rhineland, Lorne Holm, newly appointed Neville Chamberlain's private secretary, toured Germany to inspect progress of the Hitler project. Lord Home was born in the center of the British royal family. He was shaped by the same influences that would later shape Henry Kissinger. His father, the 13th Earl of Home, was suspected at one time of communist leanings, but, of course, that was just a suspect. He was hardly anything but a communist. Lord Alec Douglas Home was descended from the Black Douglas, a Scottish marcher lord in the ranks of King Robert Bruce, and was the closest relative of the 14th Duke of Hamilton, the premier peer of Scotland, upon whose nearby estate Deputy Reichsfuhrer Rudolf Hess landed one night in the end of 1939 to 1940. He attempted to mobilize the British to support the drive east against Russia. He was instructed as a youth by Sir Douglas Haig. This is Lord Home, Kissinger's friend, who is the closest relative to the 14th Duke of Hamilton where Rudolf Hess landed. Let me repeat again. Lord Home was instructed as a youth by Sir Douglas Haig, the World War I Field Marshal, who was a cousin of the former Secretary of State Alexander Haig, and by Lord Robert Cecil, the son of Lord Salisbury, the Prime Minister, who patronized the Milner Rhodes Group. Lord Cecil, the Viscount of Chelwood, founded the Royal Institute of International Affairs in 1919. At the end of World War I, when Germany was rearming, they met with Lionel Curtis, a member of the Round Table. He also founded the League of Nations to manipulate world affairs towards the direction of World War II and the Moral Rearmament Movement, of which Ronald Reagan was a member in his early career in California. That was the Royal Rearmament Movement, called the Oxford Movement, recruited SS Chief Heinrich Himmler and Field Marshal Goering in an attempt to form an English-American-German-Japanese axis in the early 30s. Kissinger joined the Moral Rearmament Group after World War II, and several years ago I had Ronald Reagan's membership of the Moral Rearmament Group. Lord Home was polished as the Aristocrats Christ Church College, Oxford, by Al Arnold Toynbee, and he was briefed with intelligence and worked with the Foreign Research and Press Service based in British intelligence. With Henry Kissinger as his junior partner in the late 1960s, of course, this is after John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy were killed and Kissinger took over the National Security Council. Groomed as his junior partner in the 60s and early 70s, Lord Home pursued the same political thrust he had in the 30s. He initiated the policy to open the door to China, a long-standing personal tie that he wanted, using Henry Kissinger and President Nixon as bait. They set out to recruit the People's Republic of China to the same marcher lord role against the Soviets that was filled earlier by Nazi Germany. And, of course, George Bush was our ambassador to China, and Henry Kissinger is lauded as opening door to China, but for a particular reason. Lord Home was kept directly appraised by Henry Kissinger of his actions as NSC advisor, later as Secretary of State. He called for Nixon's Watergating, the removing of Nixon, and he had been earlier a party, as had British Prime Minister, to the decision of those persons responsible for the murder of John Kennedy, executing the British, this is William Stevenson of OSS, British Intelligence and CIA, making up the organization Permandex and Murder Incorporated, that Jim Garrison, the district attorney of New Orleans, called attention to. Kennedy had just fired Kissinger from the National Security Council and had negotiated a test ban treaty with Moscow. And so Henry Kissinger's links go back to Lord Hamilton and to the British persons who are very much a part of his career for many, many years. Now, this article on Henry Kissinger's background and the links to Hess and Lord Hume continue. What is known is that in 1944, Henry Kissinger, who was a private first class in the U.S. Army, was picked up by his first and most important patron, Fritz Kramer, who was, like Kissinger, a refugee from Germany at the time of their meeting. He was a member of U.S. Army intelligence. Trained in the London School of Economics, Kramer became an eminence gree at the Pentagon and an international leader of the relationships that I've described above. His closest friend was J. Lovestone, once the Secretary General of the Communist Party, and Lovestone turned the AFL-CIO into the group that became the murder squads that released the organized crime syndicates, and this is where the narcotics connections come in that I'm talking about, the White House, the Defense Department, the National Security Council, the CIA. The narcotics traffics began in Marseille and in Sicily, and it began after the war with Lucky Luciano, and the relationship started with Fritz Kramer and Jay Lovestone, who brought in the thugs and released Lucky Luciano from New York to go to Italy to set up the drug traffic that they profited by, along with Meyer Lansky, in return for stopping all the leftists and breaking up labor unions and the resistance to Nazism during the war. Lovestone became an agent of the OSS and was discovered by Fritz Kramer and the CIA, and later Kramer led a right-wing split in the National Socialist International with Lee Kuan Yew, Y-E-W, a British intelligence officer who became the Prime Minister of Singapore and was present at meetings between Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, and Schmidt at the Bohemian Grove. This was in August of 1982. Now, at the Bohemian Grove, when Henry Kissinger comes, they play Hail to the Chief, as if he is not only the President of the United States, but he is the chief of this whole network, and that's why Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer are so important. They were meeting in 1982 and every year since and before, I suppose, attending the meetings of the Bohemian Grove. Kramer is also one of the more influential figures within the West German Lutheran Church, and Reinhard Gehlen resigned the CIA and the BND to go into church activities. He has been a longtime friend and advisor to Oscar and Carl Wilhelm von Prusing, the heads of the House of Hohenzollern, once emperors of Germany. If you wonder about their credentials, read Charles Heim's book, the one that followed the Errol Flynn one on Trading with the Enemy and the American Swastika, and get the background of the Hohenzollerns. And it describes Fritz Kramer's close arrangement and that involves the Nazi banks and the plans, again, for the Fourth Reich. They were once emperors of Germany and would like to return. Through the Protestant Church, Kramer maintains close ties with the monarchy and the powers that be in Switzerland, where he keeps a chalet for annual vacations. Fritz Kramer has many protégés, among whom is Alexander Haig, who Kramer found when he was still a paperclip colonel at the Pentagon. Paperclip may be linked to the Project Paperclip, Star Wars, and the Nazi scientists that came here. They refer to him as a paperclip colonel. It may be a figure of speech, but he does have those connections. Kramer remained in the emergency planning division of the Pentagon as a geopolitician in the Halford Mackinder School until Haig's removal from Secretary of State's office. Now, as I cited just a month ago, the current Fritz Kramer, the same one we're talking about, is in the national security with Frank Carlucci. He's been there 6 years. He's been there ever since Kennedy was killed, I suppose, simultaneously while having other jobs. Kramer obtained for Kissinger a series of posts with U.S. Army intelligence and counterintelligence, calling him affectionately my little Jew. Another protege of Fritz Kramer was Helmut Sonnenfeld, who would later be Kissinger's counselor at the State Department. Sonnenfeld got this job that didn't require Senate confirmation because his 1970 nomination as Undersecretary of the Treasury under George Shultz was withdrawn when it was revealed in hearings that Sonnenfeld was investigated by the CIA, State Department, Security, and Justice Department in the 1960s for espionage on behalf of Israel. He escaped the trial only because the material he passed to the Israelis was too sensitive to be exposed in court proceedings. Ironically, one of the tasks Henry Kissinger, Kramer, and Sonnenfeld and associates were involved with in the end of the war was a massive reorganization of Nazi networks for use in impending Cold War operations. And that is the area that I will continue next week, if I don't have time this week, with Merrill Lynch, E.F. Hutton, because that involves the Vice President's family, his brother-in-law, and also the Chief of Staff of the White House, but it involves the cocaine persons linked to the Contras and the cocaine cartel in Colombia with direct connections to Bolivia and Brazil, to Klaus Barbie, Joseph Mengele, who I still believe is alive, just as I believe Hitler was alive, but Kissinger, Kramer, and Sonnenfeld were active, setting up reorganization of Nazi networks in the Cold War operations. Their job was overseen by Alan Dulles, with, among others, and they drew up contacts that Alan Dulles established with most major fascist intelligence officers in Italy and Germany under a secret surrender negotiations with SS General Karl Wolff. Those negotiations are barely touched in Operation Sunrise. There's two books on it. Wolf was a liaison to Himmler, and the network of the Cold War and the Nazification of the world was set up in those very offices in Bern, Switzerland, while our fellows were dying for two more years in the war, some of the most brutal fights. They were reorganizing and setting for what has been described as World War III and World War IV. Under this program, such figures as SS General Waldo Schellenberg, the heads of all foreign intelligence, SS Colonel Otto Skorzeny, and General Reinhard Gehlen were recruited as Anglo-American assets. Now, at the end of the war at Dachau prison was Otto Skorzeny and Hitler's general, Fritz Kramer. And it was Senator Joe McCarthy that released them, Fritz Kramer, prisoner number 33. And if you have any doubts that that General Fritz Kramer isn't the one that runs our Pentagon, we have to pursue this a lot more. I don't have any doubts after years of research. To conclude this, it tells about General Galen, who was brought to this country as an Anglo-American asset. And it was out of this counterintelligence operation that Alan Dulles set up for his wartime post in Switzerland with U.S. Army intelligence sources, other organizations that he developed. And he developed a network from the OSS to the CIA. He had a code name Dora for a network, and then he started hiring people who would appear to be the left that were the right and set up that left-right network. Alan Dulles showed up in West Germany in 1946 with a Sandor Rado's wife, who was an instrumental figure in rebuilding the SPD left wing associated with Willy Brandt, Barr, and others. Now, all of this is important because this past week, Ronald Reagan has announced and stands behind the appointment of John O. Koehler as White House Communications Chief, K-O-E-H-L-E-R. Now, I'm going to give you a research assignment I want you to write. You can write to Congressman Panetta. You can write to the White House. You don't have to bother Panetta. Call the White House. Call the Mr. Fitzwater, the organization in the White House that carries the press, whoever you want to write to, or any organizations that you think would be interested in this. This is an emergency because a member of Hitler's youth has been appointed to replace Mr. Buchanan in the White House to write the speeches for the president. John O. Koehler, the communications director, said he will not resign even though his post is effective March the 1st. So 1 week from today, he will become the communications director for the White House. He said he was 10 years old when he joined the Jungvolk, J-U-N-G-V-O-L-K, which he said was the Boy Scouts run by the Nazi Party. And he said it was irrelevant in judging him because he has a Jewish wife. Nothing is further from the truth that because he has a Jewish wife, he can be a danger today. This makes a full cycle from Henry Kissinger, Fritz Kramer, Bitburg, Rudolf Hess, Alexander Haig, and the Nazification of America. Now, the important point is this. Mr. Koehler comes from the Associated Press. He's worked with the Associated Press. Okay, now remember that. Write it down. Associated Press. This is his past background. Did he know? Of course he worked with Vice President of Associated Press, Hal Buell. B-U-E-L-L. Hal Buell. Did Hal Buell go to Zurich in Switzerland in 1983, or the fall of 82, rather, with money from Klaus Barbie? Did he go with money from Klaus Barbie, which I had on the air, and the dates that he went there, I believe November 13th to 15th, The fourth thing is, did he deposit money in the bank account of Joseph Mengele? Did he carry money to Joseph Mengele's account? And another point is, did he travel with Fritz Kramer? A year later, the time he went with Kramer was in 1985. The years go so fast. So in 1985, has he ever traveled with Fritz Kramer, the man whose background I gave you, to Zurich, Switzerland, on the same plane, same day? Those are the characters that I said, and the State Department passed on a message about that bitch in California being on to what we're doing. It had to do with Fritz Kramer and Hal Buell going to Switzerland together, and the contact man that I understood they met was the banker, the head of the accounts for Joseph Mengele in Switzerland. At the time of the question of whether Mengele was alive or not, through the Wiesenthal Institute, no thanks to them, but to Ralph Blumenthal of the New York Times, he was able to smoke out. Newsweek, May 20th, 1985, Joseph Mengele still has a lawyer in Frankfurt named Fritz Steinecker. Long listeners to World Watchers know that. S-T-E-I-N-A-C-K-E-R. Recently, the attorney said, yes, I've represented Mengele. He told Newsweek, I still do represent him. How do you represent a man who's been dead for 8 or 10 years? He said, I represent him. And the question is, why did they find Steinecker? Because I said that Hal Buell of the Associated Press traveled with the drug money that Klaus Barbie got to put in Bolivia, to put in the account of Joseph Mengele in Switzerland. That's what smoked out this story, and it's very important to go into it. Now, Hal Buell has a uncle in the State Department, and May 27, 1985, I did broadcast. He works with World Medical Relief. That's Mr. Adderholt, the same person, Heini Adderholt, who's a defendant in the suit of the Christic Institute, who's been charged with murder, drug traffic, and gun running. World Medical Relief is an organization that uses Pop Buell. They used Pop Buell, U.S. official, through whom Adderholt funneled World Medical Relief supplies. I bought a book called Mr. Pop. It's written by Don Sanchez, C-H-A-N-C-H-E. He knew Buell in Laos. The book doesn't talk much about Hal Buell's background, but Laos is the area out of the cocaine traffic area where Pop Buell worked, the uncle of the executive of Associated Press now, who obviously works with our new communications director. And out of Laos came General Secord and General Singh Laub and Thomas Kleins of the CIA and Albert Hakim of the CIA. They were all involved. These defendants in the Christic suit were all involved in drug traffic in Laos. And what I had on the air in 1985 was a U.S. World Medical supplied through Mr. Buell. Pa Buell's name is Edgar Monroe Buell, Undersecretary of State in the State Department for over 20 years. Edgar Monroe Buell, as I said on the air, is the uncle of Hal Buell, the alleged link to Fritz Kramer, to the Institute of Historical Review, that's Liberty Lobby, to Joseph Mengele's attorney Fritz Steinecker, and the alleged links to Klaus Barbie and John DeLorean's missing money that went into Joseph Mengele's bank account in Zurich. Now, something happened on the way to the truth, and Ralph Blumenthal, who had called me, the writer for the New York Times, who said I was on the right track, and then went back to Germany when they were looking for Joseph Mengele, just very quickly shut up and said Mengele is dead. Now, that is exactly what is happening to Frank Carlucci when he says don't go into the deputy director of the Defense Department, Mr. Armitage. Cut off Mr. Perot, and Perot's pretty important. Cut it off, even if the president and the first lady don't want drug dealers in our Defense Department, even though they have an investigation of someone as corrupt as Judge Coffin, the very judge who barbecued the Rosenbergs looking into narcotics for the president. Cut the investigation off. Armitage is too important to the Defense Department. Well, if he's important to the Defense Department, then writers like Ralph Blumenthal can cut off the story because the reporters on the outside aren't as important as the inside of the Defense Department. Now, the area that Pop Buell worked for was the World Medical Relief. It's out of Detroit. The notables there, the head of it is General Adderholt. Their connections are with Kresge Corporation, General American Life Insurance, Manufacturers Bank, Detroit, Edison, and so forth. They sent eight to El Salvador and the death squads and the Contras. And during the 1960s and 70s, they sent $100 million in medical supplies to the U.S. counterinsurgency projects in Laos, of which General Adderholt participated. And, of course, that brought in Air America and the Southern Air and the airlines that it was Air America, notably, that became part of Southern Air that were the narcotics dealers. And they work along with U.S. Council for World Freedom, John Singlob's organization, and the Soldiers of Fortune, the Knights of Malta, the Friends of America, Mr. Tom Posey's groups. These interconnecting charitable organizations are directly linked to the Defense Department and to Fred Eakley, who shares offices with Fritz Kramer in the Defense Department or privately somewhere in Washington, D.C., where Kramer is identified with two particular groups, Daniel Graham of High Frontier and Star Wars, and Fred Eakley, who has the counter-revolutionaries, which equals fascism and guns and terrorism. And if you have any doubts about the importance of Klaus Barbie to these people and to cocaine traffics, next week I'll go into the relationship of the South America Nazi drugs to terrorism in Europe, to the network that was set up from the time the Mafia worked with the Nazis, worked with the Defense Department and the CIA. In this world, anything that is anti-Russian is okay. Cutting throats, decapitating, massacring individuals, torture, mass murders has continued through this very network. So now they want Reagan to go and walk out of the jail with Hess as a symbolic figure. They want a member of Hitler's youth from the Associated Press to become the head of communications in the White House. And it's simultaneously, while all this is going on, we learn that Hitler probably didn't die in the bunker, which many people have known for a long time, and that Eva Braun is alive. And, of course, I know Joseph Mengele is alive, and so are Martin Bormann. And a few years later, you'll hear where they were buried, just as we heard where Hitler was buried. Well, you have a lot of homework. I want you to write the White House, the communications director, or call if you have time. Some of you don't get this tape until next week, but we can continue asking and seeing what kinds of speeches he's writing. Remember, Buchanan was so instrumental in defending all Nazis from being deported, and now he and Mr. Wick of USIA have put in our new communications director. This is Mae Brussel, and I'll be back with you next week to continue the South American connections and the Nazi connections from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and Joseph Mengele and Barbie to Merrill Lynch and E.F. Hutton, and pick it up 1 week later and show you the importance of those connections.